We recently observed the 40th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. South Vietnam fell to North Vietnam in April of 1975, creating one communist country, exactly the opposite of what the American goal in the war was. The war cost more than 50,000 American lives, brought protests to the streets and turmoil to our political system. It's not a happy set of memories. But some war reenactors in Oregon take their fascination with the war to the pretend battlefield. That's right, not Civil War reenactments, but Vietnam War reenactments. A documentary film called In Country covers the trend. In Country screens at the Varsity Theater in Ashland for a week starting tomorrow. Megan O'Hara is the co-director with Mike Addy and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Megan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, well, what got you started on this project?
Well, Mike was actually the one who originally told me about Vietnam War reenactors. He had been a history major and had gone out to reenactments of the Civil War on the East Coast. And while he was out there, someone told him that there had been reenactments of the Vietnam War, and it just blew his mind. He saw some film of folks out on the East Coast, and then we were in grad school together, and he told me that he had this footage, and I had the same reaction. You know, we're both of an age that our parents were of the Vietnam generation. So it was something that, as we were growing up in the late 70s and early 80s, it was something that hadn't gone away. So we were really interested in, and ultimately found this group based out of Salem, Oregon, that we ended up following.
And so I know I read a piece that you and Mike wrote for the New York Times late last year. It seems like the first response you had coming into this was concern.
Yeah, I think it was a mix of curiosity and sort of worry. You know, just I really wanted to know why. You know, were they trying to, you know, change the outcome of the war by replaying the history in a different way? What were they getting out of it? It's not, you know, it's not the same as the Civil War where you're on the battlefields that, you know, where the battles took place, and you can sort of have that kind of sort of staged reenactment. This isn't for the public. It's a private event, you know, so it's very much just for the experience of the people who participate. So we were very curious to know more. And one of the things that drew us to this group in Oregon was that it was a mix. It was a mix of sort of the typical reenactor types that are interested in history and militaria, and also veterans, not just of Vietnam, but also Iraq and Afghanistan. And so we really wanted to know what they were doing out there.
Where in Oregon does this take place?
It takes place different places. They secure different locations based on the time of the war that they want to reenact. So they sometimes are out in the dunes out in western Oregon, but based around Salem. Well, one of the main leaders is based in Salem, Joel Kinney, and so the Willamette River Valley.
Okay, so certainly in the moister parts of Oregon, a little farther removed from southern Oregon for sure. You mentioned that you kind of grew up with knowledge in the previous generation of the Vietnam War. How close was that knowledge? Did either you or Mike's father fight in the Vietnam War? And if not, did your parents protest the Vietnam War?
My mother was very much involved in protests of the Vietnam War. She was watching her friends while she was in college go off to war, including my godfather. My father was a little bit older. He had served in the Marines, but was kind of, when he was a teenager, angling to go to Korea and kind of ended up kind of in between the two wars. But my godfather was my firsthand experience. Mike had also similarly split experience in that his uncle had volunteered and done two tours as a helicopter pilot, and his father had dodged the draft and gone to South America where he had family to avoid being drafted. So his whole family was really split over the war. So it was not a neutral subject in either of our households.
And not ancient history, it sounds like, either, by any stretch.
No, I mean, I think when that's your parents' formative experience with, you know, living in the country during that time, I think that very much becomes the stories that are told when you're a kid. So I've always had a fascination with that period of time in American history. And so much, I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting that I feel like I relate to the people in the reenactment is that so much of our cultural history, the movies, the music, all of those things have continued on from the Vietnam era. You know, you can still hear on the radio songs that were played in the late 60s and early 70s. Whereas I think that generation gap, you know, for the, you know, 50 years before my parents was a lot, there was a lot more cultural distance. So I think that's something we definitely share with the guys in the film that, you know, when you look back at photographs from the Vietnam War, the people in those photographs don't look so different from the people you see on the street. They look like they could be teenagers, you know.
Right. Okay. People that you're familiar with. Sure. I guess we should explain the meaning of the term in country. I know that people who were around during the Vietnam War probably know it pretty well, but can you go ahead and roll it out for us?
Yeah, it's a term that means, I mean, it's still used by soldiers to describe when you are in a foreign country, when you're in country, participating in the war. Were you in country? What years were you in country? But it also sort of refers to a state of mind, which is kind of where we got the title, because there was so, in addition to the physical distance that people experienced when they were soldiers in the war, there was a huge psychological distance between the experiences they were having in the jungle and what was happening, what was known as back in the world, back where at home was just such a different place that we were really interested in the psychological distance that in country referred to.
Right, which led to some really rude homecomings and some literally very rude. We'll get into that in just a few moments. Megan O'Hara is with us on the Jefferson Exchange, the co-director with Mike Addy of the movie about Vietnam War reenactments called In Country, coming to the Varsity Theater in Ashland. Welcome back and talk more with Megan and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. Back on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about In Country in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Megan O'Hara. She's a San Francisco-based filmmaker and educator, named one of the 10 filmmakers to watch in 2014 by The Independent, and a 2014 fellow of the Sundance Institute Documentary Film Program. She and Mike Addy are the co-directors of the film In Country, about people who do Vietnam War reenactments, and in this case, they're based in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the movie, which comes to the Varsity Theater in Ashland starting tomorrow. Our phone number here, 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area, and our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Megan, who are the people who do the reenactments in your film, and how did you find them?
We found them because they had posted some YouTube videos. We were actively looking and researching different groups, and we found YouTube videos that this group had posted. And one of the things that was interesting to us about what they were posting was they weren't just the typical battle scenes that, you know, they weren't these heroic scenes. They were often, there were those scenes, but there were also scenes of soldiers talking to their commanding officer about how they were afraid to go home, and these other scenes that made us really curious about what it was that they were interested in the war. And when we got out there, we found a group that was really interesting. They span the age of, you know, 15, 16 to 65 or an older, in their 60s. And so it's a really broad in age. Like I said before, there's men out there that sort of fit the description that are, you know, you'd think of a typical reenactor, someone who collects military, you know, collects objects, maybe collects guns. And then you also have people out there that are just returned from Iraq, just returned, you know, when we first started filming was 2010. So they've just returned from Iraq. Soldiers that are going off to Afghanistan, active duty. There are two major Vietnam vets that are part of the group. You know, they have a range of jobs, from guys who work as, you know, sort of in restaurants or mechanics all the way up to running their own business and working at Microsoft. And they have a few, they have at least one Canadian member, and they've had visiting people from places like Brazil.
Joel Kinney is the first guy we meet in the film by name. I had a chance to watch the Vimeo preview. Thanks for providing that. Joel's way too young, though, to remember the Vietnam War himself, I'm thinking.
Yeah, he has some childhood memories, but both of his parents were in the Oregon National Guard during the Vietnam War. So he grew up in a military family. He's not actually a military man himself, but grew up in that world as a little kid. And so I think the Vietnam War sort of lasted for him from those early, you know, that early awareness.
All right, so that explains the collection, because you show this vast collection of uniforms and gear in the attic of a small home, and it looks like this is stuff he's been collecting since he was a teenager, probably.
Yeah, I think it probably is. People, some of the guys are very envious of Bill's collection. He's got an amazing collection, everything from trucks and a little Jeep to, you know, when they do their reenactment, every single detail they try to get historically accurate to the group that they're portraying in the time period that they're portraying them. And so that's down to the magazines they're carrying in their rucksacks and the way they tie their bottle opener onto their belts. Like, they're extremely careful about trying to look correct.
There's a great moment of inspection there. It's like, yeah, the K-bar is in the right place. Okay, this needs to be slid a little further along your belt, stuff like that. So, yeah, they really get into this, into the authenticity. Now, I understand that Civil War reenactors give each other credit for being the most hardcore, like, you know, guys who will actually spend a sleepless night in the mud and the rain. Were these guys this hardcore in their Vietnam War reenactments?
Yeah, they push themselves really hard. The way they do it is that they'll spend a few days setting up. They've got a big 40-man tent, and they have working radios, period radios, and so they'll set up an antenna for the area that they're in. And then after some setup and getting everything ready, they'll basically head out on a long-range patrol. That's the premise of their reenactment, usually. And they have some sort of mission or area that they're supposed to sweep. And then they go out for three or more nights. And when they're out there, they stay in character for that period of time. They dig foxholes every night, which is a huge effort. And they hike all day long. And so by the end of the couple of days, everyone's pretty beat. And I think that physical exertion really helps create the mental space. I mean, they push themselves to the edge to try to give themselves as closest to the experience as they feel they can.
Yeah, they do have guns. I assume they're firing blanks. I don't think they could get permission to do much else there. But did they actually engage in battles? I didn't get to that part of the clip.
Yeah, so they're real guns, and yes, they are blanks, which is, you know, if you've ever been around them, they're still really, really loud. There is a group of guys that play the Viet Cong, and they're a slightly separate group. They're associated with the main group and kind of recruited and by Joel to play this role. It's actually pretty difficult to find people to play Viet Cong, and often they'll find Russian World War II reenactors that play Russians because they have period AK-47s to play the Viet Cong. And what they'll do is they have their own camp. And once the Americans go out on patrol, they basically spend the weekend trying to find each other in the woods. And it's very improvised from that point. And so they have no idea when they might come across the Viet Cong or the Viet Cong might ambush them. And it does raise the sort of level of anxiety throughout the weekend, you know, to constantly be looking and trying not to be caught.
All right, you mentioned already that there are some people who actually were Vietnam War veterans involved in this. We have a clip I want to play here on button four of one of them. Here's Bummy Bumgartner.
You know, they say you can never go back. But when I came out with them in 2006, you know, for a couple hours up in here, I went back. And I do feel very good about contributing my knowledge while I still got it intact up here. And they treat me pretty good. They treat me like a king.
That's Bummy Bumgartner, Hayden Bummy Bumgartner in the film In Country. Megan O'Hara is the co-director here with us. So, wow, this is a guy who really was in the Vietnam War. And did you get a real sense of what he's been dealing with for the last 45 years?
Yeah, I definitely did. You know, Joel is the head of the group, has a lot of relationships with veterans. I think that's one of his great strengths, is he has these really personal relationships with a huge number of veterans, and many of them would not want to come to the reenactment. I think that's probably pretty obvious to a lot of people. But Bummy is an interesting case in that he found the group online when he was looking for his old war buddies. He's a Vietnam War vet from the same unit that they, this first CAV unit that they portray. And he found them online and basically sent Joel a note saying, I remember the places, but I don't remember any of these faces. You know, what's up? And not realizing that it was a reenactment group, and was really stunned to figure out that someone was reenacting his unit in Vietnam. And definitely didn't come out for a long time. And Joel finally invited him out. He's from New Jersey, actually, and he came out. And I think what Bummy got out of doing the reenactment was it was a place where this knowledge that he'd been carrying around about what happened and what they did, what it was like, was really, really valued by the group. They were dying to hear what his experience was. And that certainly wasn't his experience coming home. I think like many, he talks about, like many soldiers that came back from Vietnam, you know, he tried to get out of his uniform as soon as possible and just blend back in, because it wasn't something that people looked favorably upon, whether or not you were drafted. When soldiers came home from Vietnam, they were very much vilified for having taken part in the war.
Yeah, and called baby killers and had things thrown at them in airports and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like many Vietnam veterans, it's something he's had to deal with his whole life. He participated in some of the, you know, more traditional, what you think of Vietnam vets kind of finding fault, and then finding another group of veterans that he met with, you know, weekly or so to talk about their lives, sort of a rap group. And slowly worked through these things. And I think one of the interesting things that's going on in the reenactment is that these older vets are talking to younger vets who are just fresh from these war experiences, kind of about what it's like over a longer period of time. And I think I feel like the reenactment is unique in that way, that it's a mix of old and young vets. Because I think some of the established veterans organizations sometimes, I mean, it certainly happened to the Vietnam vets that the, you know, the VFWs and things were not always welcoming. And I think that's also sometimes the case with Iraq and Afghanistan vets. They don't feel like they fit.
Megan O'Hara is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the co-director with Mike Atty of the movie In Country, a documentary about Vietnam War reenactors going about their business in Oregon. It shows up on the screen at the Varsity Theater in Ashland starting tomorrow and running for a week. And you can join our discussion here and now about the Vietnam War and about reenactments of it. 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Given some of the things that guys like Bummy Bumgartner have gone through, does anybody close to him think it's a bad idea for him to be playing at the Vietnam War?
Well, I should make the you know, Bummy doesn't actually go out on patrol. Usually when he's come out to the reenactments, he does the thing that you're talking about, where he does the inspections and checks over and makes sure they're, you know, sort of authentic. And then he will man the radio back at the tent and be the voice, you know, and they call in their status reports. He'll be the one responding on the other side. So, yeah, he doesn't take himself out into the woods, into that kind of situation. However, another Vietnam vet who's part of the group, Vin Nguyen, who is a Vietnamese American who fought with the South alongside the Americans, was Arvin. He's participates in the reenactment, and he does the full, he goes out with them and does the full reenactment.
I'm surprised about that. Yeah, he fought with the ARV in the Army of the Republic of Vietnam. He's obviously here in America now because the war went badly. What did he tell you about his reasons for wanting to do this?
I asked him in the film. It's one of the places where we sort of break the formality, and you can actually hear my voice talking to him. And I just say, "Aren't these bad memories? Why do you want to go back to this?" But for him, you know. He, growing up in South Vietnam, his father was an officer. This was his country, and he fighting for his people was one of the most vital times of his life. It's the most significant thing that happened to him. And he continued fighting long after the Americans had left and until he was captured and put in a re-education camp and now is made it to the United States with his family. And so... for him, I really think it's a way to go back to those memories that are so important to him from a time when he felt vital and strong.
I know there are moments probably when you mentioned there are veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan there in addition to the guys from the Vietnam era. Did you witness any moments when they just sort of get at rest and discuss their experiences in war, real war, with each other and compare and contrast?
Yeah, that happens a lot. Like I said, there's a few days of setup and breakdown, and sort of this ongoing, ongoing organization of the group. Those things happen. And there is this dynamic of respect for guys that have military experience, sort of to help the people that don't learn about what it's like to be in the military. And so... you have young guys who are, in their early to late 20s who have been overseas, sometimes on multiple tours, sort of teaching teenagers about their experience and talking to the older vets. And, there's a lot of sharing of experience, but it's funny when they go out on patrol, there's a scene in the film where they sort of say, okay, talk about Iraq tonight because tomorrow we're in Vietnam and that doesn't exist.
We're talking about the movie In Country about Vietnam War recreators here on the Jefferson Exchange with Megan O'Hara, the co-director. I want to play another clip here. We have it on button 5. This is a clip from Joel Kinney, who was the instigator for a lot of this stuff, trying to get people into the mood of the time. So let's hear that clip.
We're our dad's kids, right? Most of our dads and uncles were that age, right? Attach yourself to them. There's all these different things that were introduced. Things like when we're out there in the bush, oh, did you get that dink? Oh yeah, I zapped him. So zapped is killed. The dinks are Vietnamese. Right on, of course, out of sight, far out, groovy.
Which is really funny stuff. Trying to get into the jargon of the time. They really go for it. And there were some funny moments just in the cinematography itself, like right before the title credit when now and then clearly collide. And you could tell these are not guys who are really in Vietnam. You did actually get some footage from Vietnam in the movie itself, didn't you?
Yeah, this was an interesting thing. We early on had decided we weren't going to use any archival of Vietnam because we had thought that, this is really a film about now. It's not about, in a way, it's not about Vietnam. It's about how we remember Vietnam, and it's about what happens to history when people replay it, and it's about, sort of where are we, sort of taking the temperature of where people are in terms of thinking about the Vietnam War 40 or 50 years out. But as we started to put together the film with our editor, Lindsay Ute, we quickly realized that without the context, without actually seeing what took place in Vietnam, you were sort of lost without reference. And so we brought in archival. We started to bring in archival, and it's like opening a Pandora's box because there's so much archival from Vietnam, and so much stuff that I think, we've seen certain things over and over again, the carpet bombing shots or the napalm girl.
But the helicopter flying over the rice paddies is an excellent reestablishing shot.
Yeah, yeah. And so we started to think about sort of what did we want to show? We looked at a lot of archival, and we started to land on using these pieces that were testimony from soldiers in the field. So Times and reporters had sort of asked them, what's happening now, or how do you feel now, or what's going on? And so what it ends up doing is it becomes this, you know, there we can show what the reenactors are trying to portray, you know, that they're very committed to portray the experience of soldiers on the ground at the time. And I think those moments, because at points you can really see the horror on their faces, are even more shocking and disturbing than if you had seen bodies or carnage of some kind.
All right. It's certainly a compelling film. We'll talk more about it with Megan O'Hara, the co-director of In Country, a movie about Vietnam War reenactors going about their business in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we come back from this break. Back with Megan O'Hara and you in a minute 30. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Megan O'Hara, filmmaker based in San Francisco, educator there as well. She's the co-director with Mike Addy of a documentary film about Vietnam War reenactors at their business in the state of Oregon called In Country. It debuts in Ashland at the Varsity Theater tomorrow and runs for a week there. And you can join us right now on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the concept of Vietnam War reenactments and how those strike you. The phone number here is 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Megan, I want to play another clip from the film, and thanks again for providing the Vimeo preview that we had access to. And this is basically setting up what happens when people have to act like they're dead and injured on the battlefield. So here, button three is the clip.
When you get down, you pull out your card, and you do what the card says. So, diagnosis, fragment wound, left forearm, casualty. You can walk, you can talk. If you can't walk, don't walk. But if you can still fight, proceed. All right? If you're dead, then shut up and be quiet and don't say anything.
A little clip there from In Country, the Vietnam War reenactment movie. Megan, so they weren't doing the fake blood and any of that stuff, it sounds like?
No, I think they would love to, but they don't do that currently.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have an email here from Joe in Talent who says, wow, I've never heard of this kind of reenactment. I've been to Civil War events, even covered a huge battle staged by the Society for Creative Anachronism, where they almost burned down a ranch outside of Stockton staging the siege of a fortification. For the most part, these are pretty benign events comprised by hobbyists, historians, and a colorful mix of social misfits. But being a Vietnam vet, I am troubled by this. Not sure what is gained by reenacting the Vietnam War. The Civil War and battles to control Europe are removed by time, but there are still plenty of us who actually went to war still alive. Are these events staged to educate, or are they some sort of cathartic exercise, or just a bunch of guys playing war? I guess motivation is at play here. That from Joe in Talent. What do you think, Megan?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly asked Joel and all the guys about this idea. And you know, Joel's answer was like, basically, it's been 40 years. Are we just going to wait till all the Vietnam veterans are dead to show them the respect that we have for what they did? I mean, that's their perspective on it. I think there's a lot of stuff going on in these reenactments, but their stated goal, their purpose for being out there is to honor the service of the Vietnam veterans. And I think that his description of the sort of mix is very much present. I mean, I think the film tries to show a bunch of different guys and their different motivations for being there. And for some of them, it is to gain access to this history that maybe, you know, there's guys out there who are the sons of Vietnam vets who are still trying to understand their parents' experience. But I do think it's an interesting thing to have something that is so raw with people who have experienced this thing firsthand and to have it fictionalized in this way. That was really one of the things that was interesting to us about, you know, when is it okay to play, when does history turn into history with a capital H, I would say.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, to think about this as respect being shown for Vietnam veterans, particularly because, as we've pointed out and has been pointed out many, many times over the years, they did not get a lot of respect when they got home from war.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of the research that they do going into it is trying to understand what that experience was like for the individuals that participated in it. And they certainly encounter a lot of veterans who are interested and not interested in what they are doing. They go out to, the big Albany Veterans Day parade, and they do historical displays from time to time where they, they'll just set up with all of their stuff so that people and school groups and things can see. And it's interesting to see, I witnessed a few times where, a Vietnam veteran will walk by and see some piece of equipment that they used, and it will just bring back a whole bunch of memories. And I think that provoking of memory is very real. And it's an interesting thing to try to catalyze that.
Which raises the question, I mean, would any of these guys, you think, show up if they were doing, you mentioned some of the guys who were playing Viet Cong or North Vietnamese troops are guys who play the Russians or Germans, I guess, in World War II reenactments. So how many of these guys might show up for other kinds of reenactments, and most of them are just really interested because this is specifically about the Vietnam War?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's split. There are a handful of guys that are reenactors. Like, they reenact, Joel has reenacted World War II. He was doing World War II, and he had the idea to do Vietnam. Tuna, Charles Ford, his nickname is Tuna, because he's got these big black glasses, like Charlie Tuna. He has been a reenactor since he was a little kid, playing a drum in a Civil War reenactment, and still occasionally does Civil War reenacting. But then there are also guys like Lucian Derensburg, who's a former Army medic and did two tours in Iraq, who they're only interested in it because it's Vietnam. They wouldn't be interested. They never thought that they'd have any interest in reenacting whatsoever, and they're really only interested in this reenactment of the Vietnam War. And I think there's something to that because it is so different than the kind of warfare. It was so different than World War II or Korea or World War I or the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, in that, you don't have lines of battle lines and that kind of orchestration is much more similar to their experience. And also the environment in which they've returned home, where they're certainly not vilified the way Vietnam veterans were, but they come back to a country that's largely apathetic to their experience or doesn't think that the war that they participated in was worth fighting. And so I think that they're very interested in the parallel between their experience and the Vietnam veterans' experience.
All right, let's take a call here from John in Vineta, Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Megan O'Hara.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, Megan. I want to make sure it's clear that I never had any bad feelings about our guys that went over there. They're my brothers, my neighbors. I'm of their generation. I was lucky I didn't get drug into that. I made it through the lottery. But the thing about this is I think if somebody's going to be involved in something like this, that it's really important that the discussion of how criminal this war was and how wrong we were to be there, because we didn't learn anything from it. We've been doing the same thing for like 14, 13 years, whatever it is, over in the Middle East. And people are being just crucified and tortured and suffering. It's bad. It's just really beyond belief that we would just come back and do it again this soon.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts there, John. Which raises the question, Megan, whether these guys get into a discussion about the politics of the Vietnam War.
I would say at the reenactments, largely no, which was also really interesting to us. I mean, I think that's one of the things that happens when you focus on the soldier's experience. And when you focus on the soldier's experience, their individual experience, the politics falls away. And I think that is a really complicated issue with what's happening at these reenactments, in that they don't wrestle with the way in which the war was handled, or the government conducted the war, or the way in which lessons, there were really important lessons that were not learned from Vietnam that we are still replaying. I mean, I think honestly, the one of the big motivations for doing this film was to really think about, you know, sort of what the legacy of Vietnam was now, is now, you know, and what, how that history is being remembered, and what we're taking away from it in our current situations.
All right, here's another call from Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Megan O'Hara, co-director of In Country.
Yeah, hi, Megan. I'm really glad you've made that comment you just made about examining, you know, what this war has been all about. I'm somebody who was drafted in 1968 during the height of the Tet Offensive. Fortunately, I did not end up going to Vietnam, but I was pretty informed at the time about what was actually going on in the country. And one of the most appalling things to me about my experience in the Army was that, especially in basic training, almost nobody had a clue what they were about to get into. And I'm going to see your film because I think it's really important that we examine. This war has not gone away. I know George Bush Sr. wanted to kick the Vietnam syndrome, as he said. But I think we're far from kicking the Vietnam syndrome. And what I see is that we keep replaying this thing over and over and over again. I mean, the ease of which we go into war as often our seemingly our first tool in the toolbox, and neglecting diplomacy or any other way of solving conflict. And we've gotten ourselves into war after war that has depleted us and caused immense suffering at home and around the world. I mean, we lost 58,000 guys in Vietnam. The Vietnamese lost 3 million people. Those numbers are rarely show up in discussion in this country. And on the issue of respect for Vietnam veterans, now, I hated being in the Army. I despised the Army. But I had nothing but respect and compassion for the guys in the Army, at least the ones who weren't homicidal maniacs. There was, at that time, I was drafted, and there was a lot of draftees. Mm-hmm. What I saw was their experience in the Army left them very embittered and left them very disillusioned. And the lack of whatever lack of respect was shown to returning GIs, which I personally think has been way overblown, because I don't remember any of my activist friends. When I got out of the Army, I became an activist against the war. And I don't remember anybody having anything but compassion for the GIs who were being fed into this slaughtering machine with little disregard, and all under the aegis of, well, we've got to stop godless communism, et cetera. Very few people know that Vietnam wanted to be our greatest ally. And I'm not talking about, I guess I have to say, North Vietnam, because although North Vietnam and South Vietnam was an artificial construct, the U.S., when the French were defeated, went along, you know, suggested that the country be divided in two, and then people could vote with their feet as to where they wanted to live. But there was always the promise of a reunifying vote. And when the American government discovered that a reunifying vote meant that everybody would vote for, or at least the majority of people would vote for, Ho Chi Minh, mm-hmm. then they did not follow through on the promise.
So, Sandy,
the issue of respect is that the people who really disrespected Vietnam veterans were the people who sent them and the people who kept sending them.
All right.
Not the people at home.
All right. Sandy, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Are you surprised there aren't more Vietnam veterans involved in the reenactments? I mean, have they reached out to others through this process, Megan?
You know, they, like I said, they're in touch with a lot of veterans. Vietnam veterans. I'm not terribly surprised that there's not more Vietnam veterans that want to participate, because, like a couple of the callers, like the experience was horrific, you know, and the time was really traumatic to be involved in this. So I think I'm not surprised that more Vietnam veterans don't want to replay those experiences. I still think it's interesting that there are people who do. And I think what your caller was talking about is really interesting, because I think we're at this time, you know, we've had just had this 50th anniversary of some of the starting dates of the Vietnam War, and the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. You know, I think we're in a time right now where the where we're, you know, Vietnam's going to be, you know, back on, you know, on in discussion because of these historical dates that are coming up. And I think there's going to be a real wrestling for what the story of Vietnam is. You know, Ken Burns is doing a film on Vietnam, and that certainly will spur a national discussion. So our film definitely is not intended to wrestle with the history of the political situation or those kinds of things. It really is an examination of what it would mean to reenact Vietnam and who is doing it.
And the reenactments are quite realistic, and the camera work works in there, too. It's pretty good the way you get off into the bushes with the guys, and it looks like they're about to go off on a patrol. So it's quite compelling at times, and thanks for making the preview copy available so we could talk to you a little more knowledgeably about it. Megan O'Hara is the co-director with Mike Addy of In Country, the Vietnam recreation movie coming to the Varsity Theater in Ashland starting tomorrow. Megan, thanks so much.
Thank you.